1027 Business with Michael Avery.
We're always encouraged to save more for retirement. Many of us don't think that far ahead, though. That's just the sad reality of life. But we really should if we want to ensure that we don't reach that stage and find ourselves in a serious hole. Between a car and bond and educational expenses, I think it's very easy for retirement savings to be the last thing on our budget list. And there have been situations where retirement members have actually found themselves resigning to access their retirement funds due to the financial difficulties that the economy's been through the last few years. So it's why we see the proposals from Treasury around retirement reform as so vital. And one of those significant retirement reform proposals is the two-pot system. Treasury first indicated that we'd have something more formal by the middle of the year in the budget. That was the February budget. The finance minister said we'd have more detail, and that indeed was the case. Last Friday, we saw the two-pot system finally fleshed out. And to talk about it, I'm joined by Dr. Albertus Marais, who's a Director for Disputes and International Tax at Specialist Tax and Transaction Advisors, AJM. Albertus, welcome. And I think one of the biggest changes to the retirement landscape in the last 20 years is the two-pot system. Firstly, what is on the cards now? What is the proposed two-pot system?
Michael, hello. So what the two-pot system does is to see whether there's a balance that can be struck in some way. So we have two potential scenarios. The first is that someone can be left financially destitute. I mean, all other savings and assets wiped out because of, call it COVID pandemic, rising interest rates, war in Ukraine, for whatever reason, yet with significant retirement savings, which they can't access. So that's a real problem, is that I am so-called asset-rich, yet cash poor. I'm unable to access those funds, and that's obviously impractical. The other way around, of course, is also a risk, and especially in South Africa, with such a poor retirement record amongst our citizenry, is to say that we have people living from time to time who want to access those funds prematurely, early for some venture or some even for a holiday or to simply splash, meaning that people make unwise decisions. They can access these funds if you, for example, quit your job. Then a provident fund or pension fund savings becomes paid out immediately. Now I can access those funds, splurge it on some unwise investment, and have nothing left when I retire, making myself a burden financially to the state. So what the two-pot system wants to do is to say, we are going to allocate certain retirement funds to a pot, a retirement pot, that you cannot access until you've retired. However, we also have a savings pot that you can access early, if needed, once a year, to withdraw in cases where you have financial requirements to do so.
So, I mean, effectively, what the Treasury is doing is trying to ensure that we have some enforced preservation of the two-thirds and allows access to the one-third. The potential here, as far as I see it, could see us ending up with far less at retirement if everyone accesses that one-third and you're not trying to put away as much as possible. I mean, I understand why Treasury is doing it, though, because equally, you don't want people resigning because they're in financial difficulty just to access all of their retirement savings, and then they're even worse off. How does Treasury try and strike the balance here?
Look, in the first instance, at least it's only one-third that's available pre-retirement and not two-thirds, so I think the right way around at least. But Michael, I agree with you. The problem is that at the end of the day, the retirement savings, it's nothing else. So it's intended to be there for retirement only. Now, what I would have preferred to see, and I understand the case for financial difficulties at the moment, but I would have preferred to see this as a temporary measure only, to say that, look, we need a two-pot system for the next 3 years until the lending crisis and interest rate crisis in the U.S. has abated, the war in Ukraine has finished, whatever. And then we return to a policy where we say retirement savings remains just that. It's retirement savings. It's intended for retirement. I think, unfortunately, that is not what we're going to see here. It's quite clear to me from the policy papers that we've seen from government that this is intended to be a permanent shift, and one that I think should be cautiously welcomed in the short term. However, I agree with you that in the long term, this is going to discourage savings for retirement, and especially, as I said previously, in the case of a South African context where we are clearly not saving enough.
Yeah, that number of only 6% of us, according to the Alex Forbes survey, year in, year out, really hasn't moved very much. What then happens to the two pots at retirement when you get to that stage where you've got to purchase an annuity? Do they just then get recombined? And also, I think from a tax perspective, this is very interesting because you get, obviously, there are tax benefits for investing in something like a retirement annuity, for example, but surely you shouldn't be allowed any benefits on the one-third that you might be dipping into.
Absolutely. So what is proposed is that the one-third that you dip into is taxed at higher rates. In fact, the proposal is for it to be included in your normal income, like a salary income, and that's taxed significantly higher than would have been the case had you withdrawn from a fund otherwise. If you are patient and you wait out the withdrawal from the savings pot until retirement, you're absolutely correct. Everything from the savings pot gets transferred into this retirement pot and is then taxed at significantly lesser tax rates when accessed, be it through withdrawals in the form of a living annuity or another purchased annuity. The other point that I wanted to make, and tax becomes important here, and it's somewhat distressing to someone like myself who does tax for a living, is that tax is not as significant a stick for government to beat the public almost into savings line. Treasury statistics have shown that despite the higher tax rates that they've introduced to penalize almost early withdrawals, that behavior from the public hasn't changed. And despite high tax rates, people are still accessing the retirement funds early. So tax alone is not going to deter people from accessing retirement funds prematurely. And that's why government needs to bring in strong reforms to ensure that at the very least two-thirds are simply not accessible early.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point that you raise there. I mean, there are probably many underlying drivers behind that. And I believe one of them must clearly be the financial hardships that many South Africans find themselves in, and just unable to put away emergency funds, saving funds for a period of distress like we've just endured through COVID. So, you know, when, you know, hard times occur, there isn't any reserve capital to fall back on. And so you dip into the only enforced capital that you've been managing to squirrel away because of these tax benefits and the like. And again, back to our earlier point, and why I'm with you on this, Albertus, I do worry about the long-term impacts on the overall comfort at retirement, inequality it's called, the gap between those that have the most and have the least in South Africa at retirement, and whether or not it might increase that. Just overall, as a final thought, what do we need to consider here if we just want to continue saving and practicing good financial habits and behavior with the introduction of this two-pot system?
Look, I think the problem lies in perhaps the lower income tiers, because you need to have some sympathy. I mean, if you are someone who earns a very small salary or wage, then to a large extent, you know, if you work for a big employer, there's very little negotiation room in joining a retirement fund, be it the pension fund or provident fund. You get prescribed when you join the employer, they say, look, you have a fixed percentage that needs to go to retirement savings. And on a very low income band, that makes a difference. So there's very little left to save for day-to-day expenses and when a potential emergency comes along. So I do understand that need. But what I think government needs to do then is to encourage savings through other methods as well. And I know you yourself are very passionate about this, and so am I, and that is to look at savings on general income, for example, through increasing the thresholds for the tax-free savings accounts and the rest. Yeah. Is to say that then I need to tax salaried income less so that I can enable especially my lower income earners to save for emergencies that I do not need them to dip into retirement funds when something comes along.
I think that is a very important point there. We're going to have to leave it on that note. Dr. Albertus Maree, Director for Disputes and International Tax at Specialist Tax and Transaction Advisors, AJM, dipping his insights into the pot, shall I call them, or the two-pot system. We finally have that proposal from Treasury fleshed out, so it looks like this is going to become a permanent feature of South Africa's retirement landscape. Best you apprise yourself of it. Go and Google it if you want any further information. A major change. In fact, one of the biggest that we've seen in the last 20 years. You're listening to Hot Business.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.